Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
Les, welcome to the stage.
Am I on? Yes, I am.
Okay. Les, it's so great to have you this morning. So Les, we're going to just pray for you quickly and then let you get on. Father God, I thank you so much for this man of faith, for his kind heart and the wisdom that you've imparted to him, Lord God. And I just pray that you would really just anoint him to bring your words to us, to really open the word up to us, Lord God, to be teaching us about prayer and fasting. And Lord Jesus, that this will really set the tone for our week of prayer coming up. We pray your blessing upon Les now in your mighty name. Amen.
Thanks, Dan. And am I coming across too loud? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And welcome to anyone who's visiting us or have been here just recently. Just in case you don't know me, I'm Les Watkins, one of the members of the church here, one of the directors. That doesn't mean leaders, just one of the trustees. And I also lead one of the connect groups. So as you heard, next week we're going to start a week of prayer and fasting. And I'm just going to give a brief introduction to fasting, and it's not going to be a deep dive into it. It's just going to be a kind of a basic understanding of what fasting is from a biblical perspective. But I've only got a limited bit of time, so I'm going to try and move fast and quickly onwards. But if anyone were to ask you what is fasting, at a kind of a basic fundamental level, you could say it's just simply a time of setting aside food or drink for a particular task, for a particular reason. And you probably do it without realizing it every day. So if someone asks you what is fasting, you could tell them, well, you know when you get up in the morning, and after you've showered, washed, shaved, or whatever, and you go downstairs to have your first meal of the day, what is that meal called? Breakfast. Why is it called breakfast? Because you are breaking your fast. Because you fasted during the night, because you didn't eat or drink during the night, obviously. So when you wake up in the morning, you have your first meal, you have now broken your fast. So at a basic fundamental level in everyday life, that is what fasting is. And you know, for example, when you have a hospital appointment, for instance, maybe you're going to have blood tests or whatever, the doctors will say, don't eat or drink anything after midnight the day before. So when you get up in the morning, you can't eat anything till after you've had your blood test or whatever, the operation or the thing that they've asked you for. So at a basic level, that is what fasting is. But I've been going over the last few weeks just looking at scripture and looking up where fasting comes and seeing some examples of fasting. And because I've only got limited time, I'm going to give you just three examples of fasting in scripture. And those three examples come under at least three headings. And I've put on the screen there what those headings are. So if someone were to ask you, when should we fast? Under these three examples, and these are only three examples, there are other examples that you can find. When should you fast? Three examples. One, during a time of crisis. Two, during a time of worship. And three, during a time of major decision making. So when we look at these three scriptures individually, and some of the verses are only short, so I'm going to have to give a background to it after the verses are read, but you'll see that they kind of fit under those three examples. Now, excuse me, I need to get my goggles out in case I need to read my notes. So the first one we're going to look at is an obvious one, because I think you'll know this one. No, it's not Jesus' 40 days and a night's fasting, in case you think it was that. But the first one is from Esther chapter 4. If we can see, I better read the next slide. Right, Esther chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. So we're just going to read this, and then I'm going to give you the background to it. So Esther chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. So the background to this, and some of you know the story if you've read Esther, the background is that the Jews have now been exiled into Babylon, and that took place about 100 or so years before the incident that we're going to read. They're now under the Persian Empire, which stretches from India to Sudan, apparently. It's a place called Kush, which is apparently somewhere in Sudan these days. So it's a vast empire. There is a king in Esther, or in Susa, which is in modern-day Iran, and that king is called Xerxes I. Now, he's got rid of his last queen, Vashti, and has replaced his queen with Esther. Unbeknownst to the king, Esther is a Jew, but she has not told the king of her Jewish ethnicity. She's been told by Mordecai, who is her cousin, not to mention anything about her Jewish ethnicity, so she's kept that quiet. Esther's equivalent, like a prime minister, a man called Haman, doesn't like Mordecai, because Haman is kind of second in command to the king, and the king has commanded that whenever he goes by anywhere in the empire, people should bow down to him. Mordecai doesn't. Haman finds out about this and starts to have a hatred for the Jews. So he tells the king, can you just issue a decree which will wipe out the Jews from your empire because they don't obey your laws, they stick to themselves, etc. Just to cut a long story short, the king agrees to this and issues a law throughout the whole of the empire saying, let's wipe out the Jews. Mordecai hears about it, he informs Esther, and this is where we come to these verses which we've just read. So we're in a time of extreme crisis. The Jews are at this time in the area of the Persian Empire. So Esther says, let's have a three-day fast, and then at the end of the 3 days, I'll go to the king and try and persuade his mind. So they fast for 3 days, and no doubt they will be fasting and praying, because it's a matter of life and death. She goes to the king, and just to cut an extremely long story short, the king cannot change the law that he's issued, so he has to issue a new law that will allow the Jews to defend themselves and protect themselves when they're attacked. When the time comes, they're attacked, they defend themselves, and they're successful, they win. And today, that day is celebrated in a Jewish festival called Purim, or Purim, P-U-R-I-M. So if you know any Jews, or if you know anyone from a Jewish extraction, you ask them, what's this Purim festival all about? They'll be able to tell you that. But the main point here, when should we fast? And in this case, during a time of extreme crisis, when it's almost like a matter of life and death, they fast, they pray, they seek God. And what fasting does, and I've noticed it kind of intensifies your prayer life. It really intensifies your prayer. You pray with much more strength, more vigor, more urgency. And it may have been that they thought, well, our appetite has gone. We don't need food because this is more important. Our lives are at stake. So they fast and pray, and they're successful. So during the time of crisis, that's the first time we should pray. Now remember, these are just three examples. That doesn't mean there are other examples that you can't find in life to fast. These are just three examples. The second one, I've got to do this. During a time of worship, now this is interesting, Acts chapter 13, 1-3. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So the church is in a time of worshipping and fasting. Now that's different from normal because usually fasting is then accompanied by prayer. But this is interesting. They are worshipping and fasting. Now, we don't know the background to it or why they were doing it, whether this was a regular thing. But the interesting thing is, just during the time they were worshipping and fasting, God broke in. They heard from God. God spoke. So their spiritual senses were probably much more heightened to hear from God because they are submitting themselves to the Lord. They're sacrificing their food. They don't need food or water for a period of time. And they're concentrating their efforts on seeking God. The result was, God said, this is what I want you to do. God gave them instruction as to the next course of action that he wanted the church to undertake. Set Paul and Barnabas aside because he had a specific work for them to do. And it was during that time of worshipping, worshipping. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall at that point to see how the early church worshipped, how they gathered together, whether did they have musical instruments or anything like that? Was it just vocals? Because they probably would have been using some of the psalms to worship God from. Maybe some of them were made up some songs. I don't know. But it was during the time of seeking God, just pure worship. I mean, maybe their prayer would have come into that just automatically, but just through worship, fasting, it allowed God to speak into their situation. So that's the second time we should fast, during a time of worship. And thirdly, during a time of major decision-making. Now, this is, again, Paul and Barnabas are involved at this point. So verse 21 of Acts chapter 14. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So here's a scenario where churches had been established in those areas. Now Paul and Barnabas need to appoint leaders in those churches, and they had to get it right first time. It's no good saying, hey, you look good, you look good, you look good, you become a leader. No, they had to seek God for this and say, Lord, we're coming to you. We're going to set aside again time of prayer and fasting and see what God puts on our heart as to who should be leading these churches. Because this would have major implications weeks and months and years down the line. If they get the wrong leaders in charge, then the churches could collapse, anything could happen. So they needed to seek God and make a decision and choose who should be the leaders for these churches in these cities that would have a major impact in those cities in time to come. So they set aside a time for fasting, seeking God, and praying, and then they committed them to the Lord. And just to wrap up, just some other examples. We know that Jesus modeled fasting for us. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus promised we would be rewarded for our fasting in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. And in the Old Testament, as a national expression of repentance and confession of sins, the nation of Israel, they use repentance, confession of sin, and fasting as a way to seek God. So this has just been a top-level, basic level of understanding of fasting. It's not detailed, but it just gives you a rough idea of what fasting is. Okay?
Do you know what? I said to Les, you got 10 minutes, because I assumed it'd take 15, but he managed to do that in 10 minutes. That was very impressive. We're just going to rejig this a little bit. Is it all right to get some help? Because Les is actually going to come back up in now, and I've also got Hannah Vandy. Let's give Hannah a round of applause. Where's Hannah? And Pete King is going to come up. Thank you. And if you want to take a seat and find a... I'll sit here, because then I can see you all. Slick. Here we go. And we thought it would be really interesting. I mean, I don't know about you. Maybe the problem with finding people that fast is they're supposed to do it in secret so that no one knows. So if you're here and you're a big faster, I'm very sorry, I didn't know. But that means you're doing a good job.
He just picked the skinny people.
Yeah. But actually, we've started doing these weeks, well, we've been running weeks of prayer over years in City Hope. And over the last couple of years before, we want to up that. We want to kind of raise the level of faith and expectation. And so Pete King has really helped us with this. We've stopped it just being 2 weeks. We're going for 3 weeks every year. And it's going to be prayer and fasting. And this time we thought, let's give a bit more focus on fasting. It's the bit that, if I'm honest, I'm not so excited about. It's the bit that I don't feel I'm in any way an expert. So I was like, I've got to find some people that can give us some advice advice and help and a little bit of understanding. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I've not even told them what questions I'm going to ask, so you should be nervous. But they'll be a bit practical, hopefully. But if anyone else thinks, I've got a question I'd love to ask about prayer and fasting, then feel free to stick your hand up and we'll get a microphone to you as well. So, and through it, and certainly at the end, I'm going to ask Pete to kind of give us a little bit of an insight into his hopes and prayers for the week of prayer and fasting coming up next week. So does that sound all right? Brilliant. So first of all, Les... You don't get any time off. So Les has just given us three reasons to fast. Can anyone remember the three reasons? Worship, crisis, and making big decisions. But he kept on saying there are other reasons for it. I was wondering whether you've got any more of those other reasons why you might fast.
Well, I'll tell you my first experience of fasting, and although this is going back decades, I've been a Christian just for about 3 years or so, 3 or 4 years then. And now, I'm just going to tell you what the result of it was for me. I can't remember the exact thing I was fasting for, but the benefit that I got, I was fasting, I think, for 24 hours, or I may have broken my fast in the evening, but I can only tell you that at the end of it, my faith had increased for the thing I was praying for. In fact, I may have been asking the Lord, I just need more faith generally. Because in those 3 years, or those 3 or 4 years, I noticed that my spiritual growth was occurring. I noticed that year on, I noticed myself growing spiritually at the end of each year. But so I fasted for this time, this occasion, and at the end of it, I felt my faith had really grown. So even if you pray and ask God, Lord, I just need more faith for a specific thing or more faith generally, that could be a reason to fast as well. And that's what happened in my case. My faith really had increased. It was very noticeable at the end of the day.
Wow. So in some ways, it's like your own spiritual life, your own spiritual maturity was helped to grow through that experience.
That's the idea. That's it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, that's really cool. Hannah, question for you. One thing I do know about you is you've got an amazing kind of rhythm to life in terms of prayer. I just wondered whether, and I've prayed about this and I've asked Jesus, please don't take her rewards away if she shares some insights into her prayer life, because actually I think sometimes hearing the stories of other people compel us and excite us and inspire us to prayer and fasting as well. So I'm just going to ask Hannah, without, you know, don't feel like you have to be all apologetic. Just tell us, what's your prayer life like? What's the rhythm?
So I wake up like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And pray. I think the first time was, it was like God woke me up. So it was, and then it started first at 6, because I used to get up every 6 o'clock to go to the gym. And then I thought, okay, I really want to get closer to God. So how can I do it? I'm not a late person. I'm an early bird. So I started getting up at 4 because the Holy Spirit just wakes me up and I would get up and I would just pray in the morning. And I just keep praying and praying. And the more you do it, the more you enjoy it. The more joy actually comes into your heart, and the more you actually want to know who God is. First thing in the morning, my brain is fresh, and there's no disturbance. Mm. And then I can just get up and say, God, here I am. Brilliant. I do want to worship you.
Yeah. There's lots. People have different spiritual gifts, and actually, I think one of the things you've got is a gift of intercession. It's like where you can take prayer to a level that perhaps not everyone can do, but also I know people that almost flip the day on its end. So actually, they're not great in the morning, but actually they come alive at night. And so it's not like because she gets up at that particular time, that makes it a more meaningful prayer. It's the grace that God's given you to pray. But
yeah, it is the grace. And yes, when you say intercessory, it could even be at night, you know, then God, you know, something can just come into my heart to just pray for someone. I find out that randomly. I'm praying for random things, and it's just amazing. And as you pray, it just leads you into prayer more and just pray. And reading the Psalms as well has actually helped me, because when I read the Psalm, different topics in there will come into my heart. And then you start praying for, let's say, a country. And before you know it, somebody comes into your heart, and that's when you start praying for that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's wonderful.
Pete, a question for you. I've known you over, well, I don't even want to say how many years now. Gets a bit depressing. But, not that year, no. But from the start, I've known that you love prayer, and that's a massive part of your life. And over the years, life has changed in different ways. And now you've got, I don't know how many kids now. He's got five kids. But one of the things that I've found remarkable is it feels like, at least to me, it feels like prayer has remained as important as it was back in the day. And how has things changed over that time? And what is it? How do you keep that fire burning?
I think really I love Jesus. And so I want to spend time with Jesus. And that's what prayer is, right? It's spending time with him. It's not a list of stuff I've got a long list, I need to go to him, because that just gets boring. There are loads of problems, and there is a long list of stuff that I could tell him about, but the truth is he knows what I need before I ask anyway. So it's never about that. I don't have to persuade him or convince him. I just love Jesus, and he really loves me. And so, of course, I want to spend time with him. And that's the greatest thing about prayer, is that it's spending time with him. It's sharing my heart. It's telling him what I'm feeling. It's expressing all that's going on and bringing him into it. It changes me. I grow to love him more and more and more. And yeah, like Chris says, the rhythm of my life has changed massively since I was, you know, not married and no kids, and I could pray when I wanted to. I've got to find the time now, but I'm not going to not find the time, because Jesus is amazing, you know. Like, I properly love Jesus, and so there's got to be more discipline for me to spend time with Jesus now, which sometimes then makes it hard work, and always, you know, I don't always find it easy to pray, but like Chris said, over the course of months and years, I make a rhythm because I love Jesus, because he's amazing. And so I find the time. So it winds me up when people or when my kids or whenever, I didn't have the time for that. I'm like, that's just nonsense. You had 24 hours in that day. You've got time for it. You will just do what is important to you. And I love Jesus, so I'm going to spend some time with him. That's got to be a thing that goes in my diary, in my day. It's like, okay, life's changed, so it doesn't work at this point anymore. I can't just get up and spend time in my house. We've got five kids in a three-bed flat, so I can't just stand up and pray in my flat because I wake everyone up. I can't do what Hannah does, because that's not fair on all of my kids, and my wife is not going to be happy if I'm marching around the rooms. You know, I pray loud. So I used to walk around the park in early days when the kids were little. I used to just get up, and I'd walk around the park. All the dog walkers used to think I was a nutter because I was the only one just shouting out, talking really loud to Jesus, walking around the park. You know, that rhythm's changed, and our work has taken up more responsibility. So I just need to find new times. But I love Jesus, so I'm going to find the time, right? I'm going to make it work.
Very good. Very good. Woo, yeah, you can give a... So... a little bit quick fire, so maybe I'll get an idea from each one of you. But someone comes up to you and says, look, I've never fasted before, but I can see it in the Bible. It seems like an important thing to be doing. How could I start fasting? What would your advice be? Give us some tips.
Well, what I do, I usually kind of prepare myself the night before. So if I'm going to fast, say, on a Monday or Tuesday or whatever, I kind of prepare myself the night before in a sense that I just set my mind to say, right, let's say tomorrow morning, I'm not going to eat or drink or anything. I'm going to seek God for an extended time. So it's preparing in advance as opposed to waking up in the morning and then you fast. Now, we're all different. We all can prepare differently. But for me, preparing at least the night before just to set your mind that I'm going to fast tomorrow, that helps me a great deal.
And would you decide how long you're going to fast for at that point?
Yeah, again, the night before, I'd say, right, I'm going to miss breakfast, I'm going to maybe miss lunch, and maybe break my fast in the evening. So that would be prepared the evening before.
Great. Pete?
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually, the preparing in advance. But I think for me, it's about a mindset of what fasting is. I'm not trying to convince God. He it's not me like, God, you owe me now because I went without this. It's knowing what the purpose of fasting is. It's God, I am selfish. I am greedy. I am all about me most of the time. And there is stuff that I need to change on. I need to get your heart for this. And so I'm going to lay down food as an expression of my worship to you and say, I need to change. I need to get your heart on this thing. God's heart for this does not need to change. God knows exactly what needs to happen. He wants me to get in line with him to see it happen. So my preparation is, God, this is what I have got to change on this. I've got to see this the way you see this. I've got my, like Les said, his faith had to increase. My faith on this has got to increase. My heart has got to change. I'm not trying to persuade him. It's not like, God, come on, I prayed and you didn't do it. But now I'm fasting, so you have got to heal my leg, change this person's situation. Come on, I've done one meal. I've done four meals in a row now, God. Come on, you owe me. His heart is so much more for this. I'm the one who's got to change in fasting. Yeah. I want to get his heart for the stuff that I want to be fasting for.
They're both right. You have to prepare before you fast. When you are fasting as well, remember the next day, you're going to be hungry. The first thing that happens is that you're going to be hungry. But praying and coming closer to God should be the first thing that you want to do. I fast every month, either for 10 days, for 21 days. I prepare it. And my fasting is that I want to seek God. I am not looking for anything else. Anything else, he says, come to me, you know, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you want joy in your heart, you come closer to God. If you want peace in your heart, you come closer to Jesus. And when you do fast, you can start morning. I don't eat any morning food. That's how I started, just 3 hours. And then with time, you start growing in it. But you, the major thing is, it's actually praying and just coming to God and say, God, you know, I want to seek you. I want to love you. I want to come closer to you. Because God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is wonderful. And he really wants to be close to you. There's no other way than you actually coming closer to him. He is wonderful. He's mighty. And he is the King of Kings.
Amen. Amen. And I think I'd add that, because actually... often I realise by the time I get home, I haven't had breakfast and I haven't had lunch. And if no one's cracked open any sweets or anything in the office, then I've not eaten anything. So I'm like, God, can I claim that as a day of fasting? but actually, I think alongside it, there's this kind of intentionality to pray as well, like what you've said. And actually, I think that's where things like saying, I'm also going to fast TV, or I'm also going to... because it creates the space, because else you can kind of feel like you've done something, but you fasted, but you haven't prayed. It seems like a little bit like you're missing something. So that's great. Pete, I want to just very briefly, if it's okay, just to share a little bit about your heart. One of the things you had talked about is, can we get the whole church praying on the same day? Could you give us a little bit of your heart around that and some practicals maybe?
So when I was a lot younger, I used to play volleyball. I actually played for England, and one of the I mentioned that not for the woo, but thanks. I'll take it. It was a long time ago though. Because it was for England, we were all over the country. And so one of the things that they got us to do in preparation for a European Championship was that all, they gave us the challenge that, I was 18, 19 years old. And so the challenge was that we wouldn't drink alcohol for the 3 months before. And at that stage, that was a significant part of my life and most of the guys' life. But what that meant is that my not drinking, every time I didn't drink, I knew that the rest of my team wasn't drinking as well. And it just did this thing of pulling us together without us being together. And so I said to Chris, I think what would be great in this week is if we could all do the Monday where we said, listen, as a church, we're going to fast. And I do just want to say there will be people here who should not be fasting food. That's definitely true. Now, you might have any number of food-related issues. You might be breastfeeding. You might there might be any number of reasons, and you need to know that. But like Chris said, we can make a discipline and a choice to say, I'm not going to do something that I would significantly do. Again, we're not persuading God by our actions. He doesn't need my lack of food to show his glory and his power and his splendor, right? He doesn't need my lack of eating. It's not increasing his capacity to do anything. What it is changing me. It's saying, I am going to make a sacrifice along with this body of believers to say, I want to see the kingdom of God break out. And so I think it would be something that would really help us as a church just pull together is say, on this day, we are all going to make a choice to say, we are going to do some fasting together and say, we want to see the kingdom of God break out.
Amen. And just to be very specific, we're suggesting on the Monday.
Monday, yeah.
What's the date on the Monday?
24th, I think.
Monday the 24th, put in your diary. Again, for some people, it might be like, well, I'm going to try and do the whole 24 hours. Mm. For some people, it might be I'll do up until this particular time. Don't feel like there's something you have to do. But make it be a bit of a stretch of faith. Mm. So if you've never done, up until lunchtime, do up until lunchtime. If you've never done the whole day, give it a go. If you've never done 24 hours, see what happens. It's not kind of about the kind of law of doing it, but it's about the heart behind it, I think.
Could I ask that we could actually try and push it and do 24 hours, but if it's not food for that whole 24 hours, that's also fine. So if you want to do food for one meal and TV for the rest of the day, then do that. But challenge yourself, because in that 24 hours, we want to be together in saying we want to see the kingdom of God come, and it is more important than my personal needs in that 24 hours, yeah? So you do what you are comfortable with and take it to God, but I encourage you, if you want to grow, you know, the same as if you go to the gym, you've got to stretch yourself, you've got to go a bit further. If you want to grow in prayer and fasting, go a bit more than you've gone before, but let's do it for that day together and push ourselves.
That's wonderful. And just to remind you, so the week of prayer starts next week, so Sunday evening, I think 6:30, is it? Is that the kickoff time? And so we'll have a all together time to pray at that point. Then on the Monday, we're starting our morning prayers, which hopefully will be we'll also be joined with our international guys from around the world. So the Monday will be fasting. Please join us for that. Every morning we're together, and then there's a host of other things going on. So make sure you write that all in your diary. I want to finish with one story, and then we'll get the band up and just spend some time worshiping. But here's what not to do. I remember when we were doing a year team here, and we had a week of prayer, and Pete thought, I'm going to fast for the whole week. Which was great. I was like, yeah, I'll do maybe a couple of days. And I don't even know if I did that. But you did the whole week. And we finished with a half night of prayer, just like we're going to do next week. And then at the end, Pete was like, I'm really hungry. I'm going to go and get some food. And he got like two portions of like large chips. He got two cod and sausages. And he ate it all. And we met it all again shortly after. It was not nice. So, there's wisdom in how to break a fast as well. Hopefully you learned from that lesson. Did you learn from that lesson?
I definitely learned from that lesson,
good,
Chris.
I'm glad.
It is a true story, though. I can't confirm.
So, Brilliant. Well, listen, can we give these guys a round of applause? Big thank you. And it's going to be an exciting challenge, but should we stand together? We'll get the band back up again, and we'll finish just by worshipping the King of Kings.